Okay, today's daf is daf mem vav, and we're trying to understand when we finished the last shiur regarding what's the makor, the dalad on mot, that the four amot around an individual is kone for them. Why? How's, in other words, it's place the father, how does it do a kinyan? And we said, according to Resh Lakish, he said, if this even applies to a metziah, importantly, that was one point, even if a lost object, we'll discuss that in a moment. And then we try to bring proof from David HaMelech. That he said, despite his poverty, he was able to. He also gave all this tremendous amount of wealth. In a way, in the Gemara, the assumption was, how so? Because presumably, if it was in Dalet Amot of him, then it was, not considered his for wealth, but it was able to makdish it. The Gemara ended, but one second, how does that work? If either it's his, it's his. If it's not, he can't makdish it. So the Gemara said that he was makdish rishon rishon. So I explained it towards the end of the shiur that the Korban Eder says, no, it's not necessarily a proof anymore whether Dalad Amot is konot or not, because it could be that he acquired for himself and it was makdishet. And because it was makdishet, that's why he never was considered, if you like, wealthy. He was be'oni and able to dedicate so much of the Beis HaMikdash. However, just to look back on Masechta Peor, we saw this sugya last time, the Rabbeinu Chaim actually, so Rav Chaim, sorry, explains that he was, what he did was, is he, which is still a proof that it's Dalad Amot is koneh. That what he did is when he was close to something of great wealth, he was kone'et l'shamayim. He was zocheh l'shamayim. You'll see in a moment, someone has to have intention that he wants his dalet amot to be kone'. So he was kone'et l'shamayim, meaning it never came into his possession, but it went directly to, if you like, hekdesh. And he says this is a proof that someone within the dalet amot can kone'et for somebody else. That's what we learned back in Masechta Peah. So, in other words, according to Reb Chaim, that this is still, if you like, a proof to that inyan, as opposed to Korban Eder said it's not. But nonetheless, the Gemara now continues. Amar Rav Avon, Mal be'onyi she'ein ashirot b'fanai, sorry, b'fnei misha amar v'aya olam. Meaning, the poverty is not that he was like objectively, sorry, not that he was poor, but the Adam, David was wealthy. But with respect to God's Baruch Hu, the Kol Haaretz, there's nothing compares to him. So therefore, he's saying I'm poor, even compared to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Reb Chaim back in Masechta Peah says that actually, therefore, he could have, if you like, even acquired for himself and then come back and dedicate the main mikdash. But despite the fact he says I am poor, it doesn't literally mean poor in the way Bnei Adam would refer to poor, but neged shamayim. Now the Gemara says Dvar acher b'nei be'oni shu mit'aneh u'makdish suudato. So oni doesn't have to be like poor in terms of money, it can also actually be oni, as in like afflict myself. So this is very interesting. The Korban Eder explains it here, but oni lashon in ina she al yedei she ina in at small betanit he would fast umakdish demei sudato, and that meal that was meant to be fit for a king, the large suuda, he was actually makdish the value. In other words, demei suuda she ra'ui lachim keshar melachim, the so-called meal fit for a king. All those, that money that he saved, if you like, he was makdish l'shamayim, and through that he amassed a great amount of wealth in order to give to the Beis HaMikdash. So that's what it is, Ba'oni. Okay, now the Gemara says, Hey, Tifrevachol bara edi kamei resh lakish. What are you talking about that even a metziah, the dalet amot is koneh min haTorah v'atanina? What do you mean? We've got a Mishnah that says, Ra'at metziah, if someone sees a lost object, v'nafal alav, and he jumps on it, nafalu alayah. And somebody else comes and slips it from underneath him. He who grabbed it and picked it up, he's the owner, not the person who jumped on it before him. So he seems to suggest here the fact that it's wind in his dalad amod isn't effective. So the Gemara says, Tifta shaloyo amar yizke li arba amod. It must be when the person jumped on it, he wasn't intending to make the kinyan by virtue of it being with dalad amod. He didn't say my dalad amod akone. Rather, he thought through nefila, just jumping on it would make it his possession. But so, and that's why him jumping on it, well, that doesn't work. Jumping on something doesn't make your possession, and therefore that's why the person who slept that underneath him works. Which it would be. That's why, if you like, it fits in nicely with what Reb Chaim said before, that when Damela Melech, just by being virtue within Dalad Amot, didn't make it his. It's only when he said, if you like, I'm Konet, but he did immediately, I'm Konet l'shamay. That was a, that's how we explained in the beginning of this year. Okay, the Gemara asks another question. Hatanina Nafala Leia Lishva Olav. This is referring to the, if like, Peah, if you remember, Matanat. And he'd say he jumped on it, or he put a talit over it, and they, you can simply take him off it, because it's whoever comes and takes it, take it. He can't sign One only can't try and like, what's it called, put dibs, I think the expression is, to say, I've got all this area, it's all mine, without doing a proper kinyan. So once again, why can't you say, but it was in his dalalamot? So Vatani, so the Gemara says, Odi, once again, Odhi b'shelo amar yizkuli arba'amot. That's another situation where he didn't use that mechanism, didn't employ his dalalamot to do the kinyan. Finally, Vahatani Rebchia Shnaim Shayu Mitkashkim al HaOmer. Omer is the Omer referring to Omer Shichacha. Once again, another one of Matananim. So two people fighting over Ba'acher, the Chatfo, and somebody else grabs, comes and takes it away. That who took it away, Shechatfo Zechabo. So why don't we say the Dalet Amot, whoever was closest to, was originally the original, if you like, Kone. If you like in this Mitzia, like Kone Men HaHafker of this, which is what Omer is. So Od Hem also B'Shalo Amru Yizke Lanu Arba Amot. That's also where they didn't employ the mechanism of Dalet Amot to actually acquire it for themselves. Had they, it would have, according to Rish Lakish, but they didn't. Now we see a different opinion. This is now Rav Yosef says the name of Yochanan. So it's Machok or Yochanan Rish Lakish again. He says, this whole din of Gittin can be kone within the Dalet Amot we've been learning. That only applies to Gittin. But you don't find that with a Matana. With a mat In other words, if it's thrown with, if he gives, I want to give you this and it lands with the Dalet Amot of the recipient, the Noten can come and take it and retract on the gift if he likes. So it's not kone. Now, why would there possibly be a difference between Gittin and Matana? Reb Chaim explains, I think it's quoting Rashi there. He explains that because since when it comes to Gittin, a get works ba'al korcha, it works even against a will, there's more of a reason to say dalet amot. It's more of a reason to say akonot, if you're akonot. As opposed to a matana, we have to actually intentionally want to take it. Fine. I still quoted also, there's a Tosfot actually that says actually Mishum Aguna, but in any event, he says it only works for Gittin and not matana. So there's a, even though Rabbi Yochanan says it doesn't work for matana, and Rish Lakish says it works for a Metziah, you see that each of them have a chiddush in the way they phrased it. Ruba de Rabbi Yochanan, Ruba de Rish Lakish. Ruba de, change the gears here, Rish Lakish. Ma im Metziah she'enu zocher ba midat acher. When it comes to Rish Lakish, that no one else is being makne the object to you. If for a Metziah, it's your kone from a hefker. The whole kinyan is happening by virtue of you saying, I want to take this and picking it up. Nonetheless, we say Hare Zocher betoch Dalet Amot, that the Dalet Amot is Kone. Matana, where there's somebody else who is assisting, if you like, in the transfer of ownership. Shem Zocher bo midat acher, somebody else says, I'm giving this over to you, then Kal Vachomer, if you've got another mechanism at play to transfer the ownership, Kal Vachomer Dalet Amot would work. Okay? So in other words, even though Resh Lakish talks about a Metziah, it's Kal Vachomer, it would also work for Matana. And Ruba changed gears to the Rabbi Yochanan. The Chiddush, if you like, Rav Yochanan is different. He says, "Ma imatana." He rejects matana. She'enu zecher ba mitocha dalet amot. Matana, he said, doesn't work mitocha dalet amot. Now, here for the rest, of the next two lines, we'll just jump to the Kohenator who changes the girsa. Says, "Enu zecher ba mitocha dalet amot." That's not going to work. Okay, it says, "Metzia." So let me start again. It says, "Rav Yochanan, ma imatana shezocher midat acher." That's how you have to phrase it. Sorry. It says, when it comes to matana, where somebody else, if you like, is involved in assisting, transferring the ownership, meaning there's someone who's makne to you, then nonetheless, eino zocher b'dalet amot, metzia, where it's all on your own, the person who's finding it, eino zocher midat acher, no one else is being makne to you, eino din kal vachomer she'eino zocher b'toch dalet amot, kal vachomer it wouldn't work dalet amot. In other words, we find the machloket is very broad between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish regarding both metzia and matana. Now the Gemara says, "Hey, they've got a kashan of Rabbi Yochanan. Reb Zira's kamei Rav Yasa. V'atanin v'chena in kiddushin. It also works for kiddushin. What do you mean? It says only works for gittin. So Amalei, who gittin or kiddushin? It's not really a problem because we know we've got a hekesh in the psukim. Vaitza. When she divorced one person, marries another person. There's this hekesh vaitza vaitza that would also include, if you like, kiddushin in this. V'atanin v'chena in lachov. Ah, he's a kasha." Remember, we discussed the Mishnah yesterday. We said also l'inyan chov. And what was the case? He says, "Amar lo zorok lichovi." Just go back to the Mishnah. "Amar lo zorok lichovi." Says, "Throw me my that which you owe me." V'zarkulo, and the love throws to the malve. Zarok lo karov la malve. Zacha, and we changed the gears. If you remember, malve. Then the malve is considered it's as if the malve received it, and if something happens, he can't ask for his money back. Karov lelove, if it's close to the lover, it's still, we say, halove chayav. If something happened to it, it's not considered as if he paid back. If you remember, that's the way we explained, that's the mission of the chov. You see the dalai lama also works for a chov. So this is, isn't this a katra of Yochanan? But Yochanan says only the dalai lama is only kona for getting kid, now also kiddushin. But you see an amish also works for a chov. So amar lei no. Shechen im amar lo zorkehu leyam. The reason is because if he says it's a different thing at play. When it comes to a debt, someone can forego a debt in all manner of method techniques. It doesn't have to be that he just received his money back. For example, let's say the malva says to the lover, you know what? Take the money you owe me and throw it into the ocean. With that, we're done with it. Would it work? Yes. Has it been a kinyan with the money actually being returned? No, because we're working on a different principle here. We're working on mechila, meaning it's just foregoing the debt. So too, if that's the case, in our case as well, when he said, just throw it to me, it's not because dala dalmot konot lo, but rather because he's simply being machlon and alone. So Gemara says, if that's the case, if it's based on mechila and not based on a kinyan, so it's a chamalve, should change it once again. That even if he threw it and it was still close to the love, we should still say it's as if it's handed over. In other words, if the whole principle is based on mechila, what does it matter who it's close to? You're telling me that the malve is saying, throw it towards me and I'll be mochel the loan. So therefore, even if it falls at the feet of the love, we should also still say the loan is foregone. So the Gemara says, Vatani Anala says, Karov le love, halove chayav. And unless we learn our Mishnah, that if it's close to the feet of the love, or within his dalet amot, then the love still has to pay the debt. So the Gemara says, Shechen im amar lo zorkeu ad shichanos rushuti, v'adayin lo nechzach rushuto. Meaning, no, the guy is not stupid. Meaning, to use the lashon of the Korban Eda says, it says, Shechen nase komer zok li chovi lirushuti. In other words, he says, it's almost like he said, you know, if you throw it towards me, within, let's say, close proximity to my rushut, then I'll forego your loan. Rather, even if it's not working on a mechanism of full kinyan, why do we should find askinan the shadi zuzubhti? In other words, clearly this malv is not a stupid guy. He's not saying that, oh, you just throw in the rubbish bin, I'll forgo your loan. He's not stupid. He's saying, if throw it towards me in close proximity to me, then I'll forgo the loan, effectively. Hilkach, that's why korov the love, it's still at the feet of the love. Clearly, the love is still chayiv to pay off the debt. Okay, so Amar Rav Amin. Call ili matifta dahavi rabzira meshiv kamei rabbi Yosa. All these kashas, we just the shakal v'tar we just saw between Rabbi and Yosa trying to understand the sugya. We saw Rav Shlakish meshiv kamei Rabbi Yochanan. These are also kashas Rav Shlakish present Rabbi Yochanan. From the kabli minei, we accept them as kashas. Upatar lak ilim patraita, and the same tshuvas, the same answers we just presented. That was also in the conversation, the dialogue between Rav Shlakish and Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, now the Gemara says. Rav Avin says b'shem Chizkiya. Now, by the way, in the this is where the sugya ends in Peah, right? The one we did. Now it says Rav Avin says b'shem Chizkiya. You've got bischar halav lashanu. However, the Korban Eidah says actually nishbar halav lashanu. So what does that even mean? So kolomar, in other words, b'dieved she'en kan lav lashiyichtov get acher the ayre manitin. The Mishnah is talking about where you don't have another scribe to write another get. Why? And that's referring to the case where he threw, if you remember, the get onto the gag, that's where she is, and it went into the Avira Gag, which says Megureshet, even if it sort of went up in a puff of smoke. Something crazy happened to it. Okay? That dafke b'diavad, it would still be get. Aval lechachila, still, we're trying to say lechachila tzarich litov get acher im nisraf haget kodem she'anuach. You still really lechachila stuff to run another get, even if it got burnt before it landed. Okay, that's another point there. Now the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Elazar, matnita begag sheyesh lo maka. What does it mean if the husband threw a wife to his get and she's on a roof? That if it goes into the airspace of the roof, it's considered megoreshet. That's only if it has a maaka, meaning a railing around it. It's like a balcony edge. Avir and has to be go into the airspace within that wall that's around it. We're not talking about simple railing, we're talking about a mashal wall. Why? Now, just read the Korban Eidah. It says, Dtnan lo mintar. Because if it doesn't reach within that airspace, that protected space, let's call it that, of the on the roof, within the balcony edging, if you like, then it wouldn't be considered in a protected space. Why? Because it's very easy that a gust of wind will come along and blow away before he get a chance to land. Zik So even if a gust of wind didn't blow it away, if it's not within that protected airspace, it's not what's called mintar, and a dog comes up and eats the homework, to use expression, or so it rains, but like and rubbed it out, it wouldn't be megareshet. In other words, we need an airspace where it's for sure going to be able to land peacefully, if you like. If there's a maka, and if there's a proper railing and it's going below the level of, let's say, the where the railing is, or I say the more the wall around the edge of the roof, then it will safely land. So the important terminology for the sugya is has to be what's called mintar. And that's going to be very important because we're going to have comparison soon between Shabbos and Gittin. Meaning it might not necessarily be the definition of what's called Rishuyot and Shabbos. It has to be still what's considered mintar. Okay, we'll get to that soon. However, the she'en lo mak if it didn't have a railing, v'hu she'ared la'avir shlosha shem smucha l'gag. It would only be considered megresh if the get reached within three tefachim from the roof. Why? Because again, this is based on the principle of levud, right? Which is levud that it is that within as long as within three, the space any space less than three tefachim is considered as if there's like fill if it's filled in no space at all. Okay, Rav Yaakov bar Acha says that Rav Ba bar Hamnuna says b'shem Rav Ada bar Achva v'chein. Now here, how do we read this? Korbanis, this is a kasha. V'chein in Shabbat. So I read it like a question. That's like the Korbaneda. So I'll compare it to the Mene Moshe in a moment. But so I can read inside for you. It says, this is a Korbaneda. Kashale, imken, neima, nami, lin, Shabbos. Why don't we say the thing for Shabbos as well? Hazorek shlosha, if it's within three tfachim close to the Rishut, there should be considered it should be considered as if it's thrown within mechitza and it's within with that rishut and you'd be chayev. It's interesting. The Korbaneda says it's more of a kasha not within the three tefachim but rather within the ten tefachim. In Shabbos, you say that's not necessarily the case. So different ways of running the sugya, but here it would have to be according to the shita that on Shabbos, even if it's within three tefachim, it's not considered as if it's rested in the space. Okay, if you understand the Korban Eder, which we're going to continue. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef, Lo Damya. Shabbos and Gittin are not the same. Why? Gittin milamala, v'Shabbos milamatan. Now what's Gittin milamala, v'Shabbos milamatan? It says, Gittin afilo no nach, Shabbos ad she'anuach. So I'll just read the Korban Eder here, because it's got an interesting pshat, and then we'll have a look, might look at the Pnei Moshe as well. He says, "Gitim elamala," meaning "Mishia shloshtei gagim." Let's say there are two roofs, or two houses, a semi-detached house, and the two roofs are close to one another, so you could easily walk from one to the next. So, like almost like same level. Okay, zulazir v'ishilu makom gag echad lekabel gita v'kibla begag sheni, and he gave a space on one of the roofs, if you like, to receive a get, and she ended up accepting it on the other roof that they're together, right? Despite the fact there were different owners underneath the two roofs, because it's a semi-detached house. Lo amrinan for gittin, we don't say rishot chalukot. We don't look at it as being on the roof as being separated into different domains. Dekevan why? De'ena tashmish ragil behem, because people didn't use to use the roofs a lot. So therefore, imishila makom be'echad agagot gamasheni sha'ula. And therefore, even if she was allowed to use one roof, we say the other one is also considered like hers, even though the owner is a different owner. However, the Shabbos is different. Shabbos is more machmir. Why? In Shabbos, ima diurim chalukim lamata. But Shabbos reshuyot, we look underneath the roof to see who owns those spaces. And when it comes to Shabbos, that's a different situation. We say that it's considered two different reshuyot. Okay, but Shabbos lamata leinyan. Shabbos ima diurim chalukim lamata gam legagim asurim letatal mizel ozer. Then you wouldn't be able to carry from one side of the roof to the other side of the roof because you're going between two different rishiyot as defined by the spaces beneath them. It's actually interesting. The Pnei Moshe doesn't explain it with that like that give that technical explanation in terms of the difference between the Shabbos and the Chagit in terms of a shared roof space, but rather he explains it He says, Shabbos, we look at Kolomas Muchim, and when it comes to Gittin, you go higher than it. Like it's almost explaining the difference, really. But what? Let's continue, however, because the Gemara continues. Gittin afilu nonach. If you remember, the Gemara it says, afilu nonach Shabbos ad shi'anuach. So I'll continue the Korban Eda. The Korban Eda says, Gittin afilu nonach Rabbanan desabri Shabbos amina kluta lav kemishu unchadami. Modim de gabay git mishe gi la vir umintar have a netina umugureshu kemishu unchadamia. Which is interesting because this is a bit, this would. It's almost, according to the Korban Eda's Perush, it's almost like a second answer. That's what it sounds like. Or might even be an explanation for why we have the different rishus on the rishuot on the roof. According to Bnei Moshe, itself, it gets nicer because we've just stated the difference. Now we're giving the explanation. But what is the explanation? So it's saying when it comes to Gittin, the Chachamim, when it comes to Shabbos, firstly, Chachamim hold in this sugya. If you're going to say that even if it's not with, even if it's according to the Korban Eda's Perush, even if it's within three tefachim, it's not as if it's landed, because we say kluta lav kemishu hunchadami. Something is simply in the airspace of a reshut and Shabbos, it's not as if it landed in the reshut, and it needs to land in the reshut. However, when it comes to gittin has got nothing to do with the different reshuyot, as we've explained in the beginning. When it comes to gittin, it has to be what's considered mintar, once again. So this is a mod, so I'll just read the commentator. It says Gittin afilu nolach. It says modim degabe get mishigia la avira get avir umintar avinatina, because once it's considered mintar, it's considered within her. Let's call it control or protection, or in a way that could be considered hers, even if it didn't land in the reshut itself. We don't have to be kluta kaminshal huncha. She's kids can it's already considered megureshet. So again, very critical difference in Shabbos and Gittin. Shabbos is all about reshuyot. It sounds like. Has to land in the reshut itself. And why in airspace it doesn't work? Because that's the kohen chachamim say kluta kolosha min chudami. Just being in airspace is not as if it landed in the reshut. When it comes to gittin, however, it has to be considered as if it's handed to her. Being handed to her, even though we're marabir achatzer, means achatzer, that's mintar. So therefore, as long as it's mintar and it's within the airspace of the chatzer, it's considered as if it's handed over. Fine. Yes, now the Gemara says, one second. Yes, let's continue. I'm getting fine. Rabbi says b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, v'hu she'ered la'avir ha'mechitzot, has to be within the avir of mechitzot, pretty much as we said. Okay. Now to explain here, before we're talking about the very mechitzot within the what in the roof. Now we're talking about the other way, where it's throwing down from the roof to the chatzer. So it says, if the Korban says, "Hu milamala," he's a bazar kula. Once again, we need it to be that it goes into the avir of the mechitzot. Now, how's that possible if it's on the roof? So Korban explains that because Mishnah says, as soon as it leaves the roof, it's already considered, if you like, she's megureshet. So it must be that we're dealing with very, very high walls that go up to the level of the roof. And that way, if when you're throwing it from the roof, as soon as it leaves the roof space, it's within the avir mechitzot of the chatzer below. That's why the Korban explains this piece now. That's why it says, "Remishim." So Rav Imi's by Kamei Rav Yochanan. Matnitin de Rebbe must be like Rebbe. Why? De Rebbe avad avir mechitzot kamamasho. Once again, this is a bit like we're going to bring this distinction we brought in a moment. It says that. That we just brought, he says that it must be like Shita Rebbe, that understanding, because Rebbe holds Kluta Kamishun Chadami. So that's why he's saying, as long as everyone mechitzot, as if it landed in the place. Amrale Divra Kol, it's Divra Kol, Hacha, and it's referring to, and here we're dealing with Gittin. So pause that, like the flow of the Gemara for a moment, because the next line, the Korban Eda says, is really Shayach to Masechta Shabbos, but we're left really hanging. In terms of, okay, why is Gittin different? Meaning, why would the Chachamim agree in Megittin that even if it's an Avir, it's as long as it's Mintar, that she's considered Megoreshet, whereas Shabbos, we say Kluta Kamishalohun Chadami. So, but before we answer that question, we've got one more line in the Gemara. It says, V'yatimna Rebbe Amar Mekora V'atamarina Mekora. What's that referring to? So the commentator says, this is Lo Shaya Chacha, this is not related to Asugur at all. Ela B'Shabbos Reish Perek HaZorek. Da'amrina Hatam. Milta Rabbi Yochanan Amar Afilu Einu Mekora Nami Kesava Rebbe Kamisha Hundami. So having just mentioned the Rebbe says that Klutuk Kamisha Hundami, that as long as in the airspace of Rashur, as if it's landed Vilcha Shabbos, that's even if it doesn't have a roof over it, that's Rashut. Dama Rebbe Imi B'Shem Rebbe Yochanan. Because otherwise, if you want to say that Rebbe holds that it's klut kamitchul and dami only if its mekorah has a covering over, then if that situation, we should have said that our mission is like nobody. Meaning, just to explain, we said as soon as he throws it out to throws it off the roof. And it goes within the airspace of the chatzer, provided that it's within the airspace of the walls, Megureshet. Now, if you want to say that Rebbe holds Kluta Kamitra Dami is only if it's Mekorah, well, the chatzer doesn't have a roof over it. It can't be Rebbe, because Kluta is not Kamitra Uncha, and it can't be Rebbe either. So it can't be Rabban, and it can't be Rebbe either, because Kluta Kamitra Uncha Dami is only if it had a roof over it. And the fact that Gemara didn't play it out that way, quite clearly we see that Rebbe holds Klut Kamisha Uncha even if it's not Mekorah. Okay, fine. Now let's go back to our sugya. Uma ben Gittin, Uma ben Shabbos. Why is there a difference in Gittin and Shabbos? And this, the Gemara now presents pretty much what we explained in the Korbanada previously. Amr Allah b'Shabbos k'tiv lo te'aseh kol malacha. Meaning, na'asiti me'alei Abraham hach v'natan b'yad ha'b'rushuta. So the Kansa Gittin is quite clear. It says Venatan Biyotabu Shuta, which means it has to be placed in her hand, and as long as it's considered mintar, it's considered in her hand. That's why even Avira would work. Even according to Chachamim. However, when it comes to Shabbos, it's lo ta'aseko malacha, and this is how it will be Nasit Ma'aleha. Meaning if it's just in the airspace, it's Nasit Ma'aleha. Why so? Nasit Ma'aleha means like it's done on its own. So I'll just read the Korban Ha'ed. It says, Hare da'asiyat al yirah chumana, meaning the person has to do something. When it's Shabbos, you have to do the malacha. V'kishu ba'avir ena malacha nasit memena. She'en kan asiyah mamash. But simply being suspended in the airspace is not considered an asiyah. Ela, it's sort of just ma'aleh, it's on its own here. Hilkach, that's why chamei pater, unless he mamash does, it lands, and only when it actually physically lands, that's considered, if you like, asiyah, doing a malacha. That's why it's different, that's the difference in Rabbana between Gittin and Gittin and Shabbos. Okay, we'll just do a drop more. Gemara says, Beit Shammai Rim, Poter Adam et Ishto beget Yashan, or Beit Hillel says Osrim. So, whether or not a person can divorce his wife with a get Yashan, what is a get? Is a machlok Beit Shammai et Hillel? What is a get Yashan? That is a get Yashan, that's Koshin Techelima Me'achar Shekatfu La. That's a get that a person, he wants to give his wife, but he was biyichud with his wife after he wrote the get. Now, what's the machloket behind? What's behind this machloket where they get yashan? I read the korbanet on the mission. This is on Dibra Matchil beget yashan. In other words, shekatav legeshtov inyecheli mo'alachar ketiva. So a person, he wrote a get to divorce his wife. He had it in the drawer. There will be yichud after the demand of writing, and then he wants to divorce her. Ubeit shayma l'shita teyu. Beit shayma is according to the shita, which we'll see. Damrinan l'sof michiltim. It says, Lo yigeresh adam et ishto elim ken matza badar et davar. Because Beit Shammai has a very restricted scope in terms of when someone can divorce their wife. And that is only if he's matza ba erva davar. That's only if he finds some matter of erva, some issue that it relates to infidelity, being unfaithful or something. Hilkach, therefore, ein lachusham yavo ala ben ktiv lenitah. There's no chashash that even if it was biyichud with her between the writing and handing over, that he would have, anything would have happened. Shemuzul hemetu benav, because this is such a despicable thing in his eyes, there's no concern that might be together. However, Beit Hillel l'shita teyu, Beit Hillel is according to their shita. They say, afilu b'ticho tavshil muta legarshav. According to its understanding, though their Beit Hillel, so their understanding, that even if she burnt the dinner, that could be grounds for divorce. It doesn't have to be so substantial to be grounds for divorce. Imken, if that's the case, you should be choishesh that something might happen if they would be yichud with another, because the grounds of divorce didn't make her despicable in his eyes. It was just a small infraction. The ikal meichash, maybe therefore, if the biyichud after this man ketivat daget, we're concerned that might be a las shema. Maybe he'll have the get in the drawer for like a year or two between the writing and the handing over, and in the intervening period they were together and they had children. Within that time, v'chakik hashena, then he's going to hand over this old get, and it'll look like these children were born out of wedlock. That's what's behind the debate. So behind the debate of using get yashan, he actually goes even deeper than that in terms of what is the grounds for what is the scope in which one's allowed to divorce their wife. So the Gemara now says, "But Shame Omrim, Rabbi Yehuda says, B'shem Shmuel, V'kulam nisu lo teitzeh shelo leitzah leizeh al baneiha." That if they end up getting married, sorry, if she's divorced with a get yashan and gets married to somebody else, we don't say she should get divorced husband number two. We say, okay, fine, because we're concerned that if you say you have to get divorced from husband number two, it was gonna it, people would then think that maybe she was really still married to husband number one. Meaning the whole reason why you can't use a get yashan is a chashash. Is it a kosher get? Yeah, it is a kosher get. So therefore, if she gets married to somebody else, we don't start ruining up that second relationship as a result. Okay, fine. Now the Gemara says,
Sorry,
yes. No.
I have to go.
All right, Beseder. I'm just want to do a drop mile. I'll get to the Mishnah so we can get to the next halacha. Okay. Now the Gemara says, Ana Tanina Machasha Katvula.
Seder.
Okay, Beseder. So Ana Tanina Machasha Katvula it Tani Tani Machasha Natnula. Now, what's the concern here? So I'll read the Korban Edei. It says, Mishnah is get yashan. The definition of a get yashan is kol shnityached ima machasha katvula. If he was biyichud after he wrote the get, however, there's those that say that he was biyichud with her after he gave it to her. Now that's interesting. What do you mean? It get yashan was yachud with her after he gave it to her. So we have to understand this. The Gemara says, okay, he said, "There's manda amar machash katvula mesay lebeit shamay, umanda amar machash natnula mesay lebeit hillel." So just to explain this, let's go through the Korban Eder. He says the shita that says that the whole definition of get yashan that he was, if you like, biyichud with her after it was written, that supports shita too. That supports the shita beit shamay. Da amar lakama lo yigeresh elim ken matzah be'adavat davar im ken asul lachzira lachar shegirusha. Therefore, it would be asul for him to remarry her. If he divorced her, because the whole basis, the only grounds of divorce is if matzah be'avat davar, so he can't remarry her. Ve'i get yashan, if hainu shekvar natnula, if you're talking about get yashan, definitely get yashan is one that's already been used and given to her. Ve'chzira and she returned it back to him. Klum. He can't remarry her, so how can he want to reuse this get to divorce her a second time? He's not allowed to marry her, so that seems to support Beit Shammai. Okay, so quite clearly, again, it must be according to Beit Shammai, because there's no opportunity, if you like, to reuse this get for a second divorce. It must be that this get yashan is not that it was old and used, and this is a second time he's married to her. It must just mean it was there would be yichud after it was written, which is the way we explain the Mishnah. However, manda amar chashan natnula. There's another sheet that explains what's a get yashan. It's a get that he used to divorce his wife. She returned it to him, and he remarried her, and he wants to use that get again. That seems to support Beit Hillel. Why? Because that the matzil lagarish, because that supports Beit Hillel's rationale that really even for the lightest reasons one is allowed to divorce their wife. Imken, that's why it's possible ika matzil lachzirat. So it's possible you might want to remarry her again, and he's allowed to remarry her because the grounds of divorce wasn't anything substantive necessarily. Hilkach lo haget, if she returns the get back shegir shabotchila. That's why you can't use it again. That same get. That's what the definition of a get yashan. But that, again, that possibility of using a get that he divorced his wife once, remarried and wants to use that same get again, that's only possible, if you like, according to the situation with Hillel, where it was light grounds for divorce, and then he'll be able to remarry her. But Hillel, the Maturim, Tzrich Lomar, Leshitat Beit Hillel Kamar. And therefore, in other words, if you want to explain the mission like that, it must be Beit Shammai says, okay, I wouldn't allow him to get married again, but even if you go to your shoot to get married, still you'd be able to use such a gift. Okay, so. Kolta, we'll start from the next halacha next week. Kolta.